Turn to Proverbs chapter 30, if you may. Doing a family series just for a few weeks, as you're aware. I've looked at men. I've looked at fathers. Lynn said he didn't want to go back to Moree until I looked at ladies. I told him he didn't need to worry. His wife was perfect. But it's the ladies' turn today. And the good thing about preaching old messages is you can't say that I wrote it with you in mind. All right? Because I looked up when I wrote this, it was 2010. So 6 years ago. So there you go. If you think Alan sat down and wrote this for me this week, it's not true. I might have sat down and wrote it 6 years ago for you, but I didn't do it this week anyway. But we'll see what God has to say. How about we open in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for the instructions that you give us. And Lord, as we learnt in Sunday school, those alarms that remind us to be sober and vigilant and reminders of what you want us to do and what you want us to stay away from as well and where the dangers lie. And I pray that, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, it will be your word that teaches and speaks, and I will just simply be your mouthpiece. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm trying to restrict myself to the book of Proverbs in looking at the family. And if you have a look at the book of Proverbs, you discover that Proverbs has a lot to say about women. And if you bundle up everything that it says, you can basically put it into two categories. There is the woman who God says is godly and portrays godly characteristics, and God says this woman is to be considered a treasure, someone to praise, someone to be sought after. But it also says there is a type of woman who is ungodly, and she is a shame and someone to be shunned and avoided. And every God-fearing woman should seek to be that godly woman that the book of Proverbs says is pleasing in the sight of God. The problem that we have today is the ungodly woman that's revealed in the book of Proverbs has been promoted through TV and magazines and advertisement as the type of woman that ladies should seek to be today. As our world becomes more godless, the more women are becoming like the lady in Proverbs that we're told a woman shouldn't be like. And so what God says is normal, this is what a woman is meant to be like, the world is saying, no, it's opposite to this, a woman should be like this. And too many women are seeking to be like the opposite to what God wants. And if there's one word of encouragement I'd like to give every lady here today is we need more godly women. Our world, as it becomes less godly, less God-minded, are becoming like the women that God says is a shame. And so we need more godly women. And if you want to know how you should dress, how you should act, when you're in mixed company, what's important for a woman and what's not important, then can I encourage you to go to God's Word. Have a good read through the book of Proverbs. Get rid of the new idea or whatever you may look at and go to God's ideas in what is that perfect woman and seek to embrace those things. You know, we know from Proverbs chapter 31 where you should be. It talks about a lady who is considered to be more precious than rubies. For some, they may debate that, but there is a certain woman who is more precious than rubies. A lady who has a husband that considers her a blessing and will praise her. A lady whose children will consider her a blessing and will praise her. A lady who others will observe and praise as well. And one thing I do know about ladies, and that is most ladies want to have that reassurance through praise or giving of thanks that they are doing a good job. That's just inbred in everybody, but particularly ladies. Every mother, every wife wants to feel appreciated. Everybody wants to be assured of this by hearing their husband say they are doing a good job. They want to hear their children being thankful for what they are doing for them. Every woman wants to know that she's a good wife and that she's a good mum. But we need to be honest. Not every woman is praiseworthy. That's what God says. There's no point giving vain praise. The truth is, not every woman is a good wife and not every woman is a good mother. Not all deserve to be praised. And as God says, praise and honor is earned by being what you should be. In Proverbs, we're told the type of person or lady that is given praise. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Did you get that, ladies? Who gets to be praised? The woman who fears the Lord. And so if you want to hear praise from your husband, if you want to hear praise from your children and even hear it from others, well then the first step is you fearing the Lord. If God says not to do something, well then you shouldn't be doing it. If God says you should be doing certain things, well then you should be doing them. That's how you gain this type of praise. And so today what I would like to do first of all is look at some of the things the Lord says you're not to do and not to be like if you want to enjoy that praise from your husband, your children and from others. To be that Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs has a lot to say about the damage a woman can cause. And there is one particular type of woman that's mentioned around about 10 times in the book of Proverbs that every God-fearing woman should seek to be nothing like. And she is referred to as the strange woman. The strange woman. Now, when we think of strange, we think of someone who's odd. Where there is all the normal, that's the majority, and then you've got someone who's not normal, they're strange, all right? And sadly, that's not quite the way it is today because we've got all the majority of women who are godless and then you have those that are odd to the majority, but God says they're not the strange ones, the majority is today. You see, the word strange means someone who has turned away or gone away. And so she is a woman who has turned away from what a woman originally was meant to be like. So when God formed Eve in the Garden of Eden and he formed her for Adam, there was a certain particular type of person he wanted her to be. And the strange woman is someone who isn't living the way God intended a woman to be. She is not normal in God's eyes. That's why God says she's a strange woman. That's not what I was meaning when I created a woman. She's strange to me. And as I said, the trouble is, the world today is trying to tell us that the strange woman is the normal woman. And that's the type of woman that women should seek to be like. And ladies, if you want to be considered more precious than rubies, if you want your husband to consider you a blessing, and you want him to boast about you to others, you want your children to be thankful for you, then you should be avoiding the type of woman that God says is strange to him. Now, in Proverbs, we learn about this type of woman. The strange woman forsakes her promises to God. She's unfaithful to her husband. She destroys marriages. She corrupts young men, entices them to sin. But what is often neglected when you talk about the strange woman is people will look at, hear that and say, oh, that's terrible. No, I wouldn't ever want to be like that. Yet they take on what the world says is normal when it comes to how you act and how you speak and how you dress. They actually look and sound and act like the strange woman, although they may not go to that degree. They just want to look like her, but maybe not act like her. But they're getting their normal from the world and not from God. Let's have a look at some verses about the strange woman first of all. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. These are some things about her. See if you have been influenced by the world to act like her in any way. It says here, chapter 5, verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, I don't know all that really means, but we do know that a strange woman entices a man with her lips and mouth. I guess you see that with the ridiculous types of lipstick we see today. I'm not anti-lipstick, don't let me come across, but there is a way to entice, even with your lips, we read. Have a look at chapter 6, verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know, the strange woman uses her beauty as a lure and uses her eyes to do the same. The way that she looks at a man, the way that she makes up her eyes, causes him to lust and to be enticed. There's a way you can do that, ladies. Some are better at it than others and know how to do it. Look at chapter 7, verse 10. This is talking about the strange woman that went out to try and seduce a man. It says here in verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. It makes it very clear that there is clothing that's not fitting for a God-fearing woman to wear. A strange woman's clothing will be used to entice men, ladies. And that's probably a good way to work out if you should be wearing something or not. Does your clothing entice men to lust? If your top causes a man to be enticed because of how tight it is or how low it is, well then, understand that is the attire of a strange woman. You know, in Sydney there were particular streets that you, if you drove down the main streets on a Friday or most nights, there would be the strange woman standing on the side of the road, the prostitutes there. And there was a particular attire you knew if she was who the strange woman. But I could tell you now, I could walk down the marketplace and I see ladies or women dressed in that same attire today. There was a time when you could see the difference. when girls go out for the night, they are dressed just like the attire of that strange woman that used to just stand on the corner. The attire has changed dramatically. But does your clothing cause enticement? Chapter 2, verse 16. It says this: "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." You know, a strange woman will also use the words to lure a man. Today we call it flirting. But there is a certain way that a woman can talk to a man that is flirtatious and suggestive. And you need to understand, ladies, that God hates it. It is wrong. And they are the words of a strange woman in God's sight. And so if I was to bundle all these things up, I bundled them up, and this is how I would read this. A strange woman is someone who entices men and draws a man's eyes and thoughts to herself. She promotes immoral thoughts and behavior by what she wears and how she presents herself, and by how she looks at men and speaks to men, and how she acts around them. God says He doesn't like this type of lady. He doesn't like the actions of this type of lady. You know, the common word today in describing a girl or a lady would be, or the dress that she may be wearing, is she looks very sexy. Or, man, you look so hot. Now, all that is really saying is, you look very enticing. You look very luring today. And people want to dress to look like that. Yet God says that is the clothing of a strange woman. That is something that a godly lady should not want to have. She doesn't want men to look at her in that way. She doesn't want to speak to men in an alluring way. She doesn't want to entice them in any form in that regard. Yet if you look at the women's advertisement, the model shows, the female singers, you will find that Proverbs woman called the strange woman, not the virtuous woman. A woman who is a shame for any godly woman to want to be like or be like. A woman to be shunned and avoided. A woman who is a far cry from what God first wanted women to be like. Yet so many girls and young ladies and women who name the name of Christ use these strange women as their role model. And that's why so many men, even in churches, are being unfaithful to their wife. That's why so many young men are committing immorality. That's why so many men's minds are full of filth, and their speech is filthy as well, because they are continually being enticed by strange women wherever they go. You go down to the shops and you see strange women. You go to work and you see women that are strange in God's eyes by the way they talk and act and dress and so on. And ladies, the greatest gift that you could give every man here in this church is to make sure this is a place that is a haven from strange women. That's the greatest gift that you could give every man here. Where there is nothing to see that's going to cause lusting. Where there is no flirting. There are no strange eye contact. There is nothing enticing. Every man and young man in this building is bombarded by strange women every day of their life. And so you could be an absolute blessing to them if they come here and you know, I can go to church and I'm not going to see any strange women there. That's what it should be like. Women who act and dress and present themselves in a way that God intended. And sadly, normal women are not easy to find. And so God needs you to be normal. That's the first thing that He says about the wrong type of woman, that That's a strange woman. Now, this isn't the only type of woman who won't be considered more precious than rubies and praised by a husband and children. There are some other things that are said that are more directed to wives. Solomon describes the type of wife who is hard to live with. Could you believe that? Could you believe that a woman would be hard to live with men? No. We wouldn't know, but there are some out there that actually find women hard to live with. And Solomon describes who it is. He describes the type of wife who isn't going to find her husband praising her. She isn't going to find her husband wanting to be with her all the time. And he isn't going to find her as a blessing. And ladies, you can approach this two ways. You can sit there with your arms crossed as we look at these things and say, well, I don't care what you think God says. I'm not changing. Because it's the only way I can get things done around here. In my house. And so, too bad. I'm going to keep acting exactly the way I've been acting. Or, you can hear what God says and realize that there is a better way of doing things. And there is a better way of getting things done. Your choice, right? Your choice. But let me read some verses that talk about this topic. And there is a key word. I want you to listen out for it, all right? I'll just read these four verses. Proverbs 19:13. The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. The contentions of a wife are a continued dropping. 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. That's what God says. Chapter 27, verse 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Chapter 21, verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling or contentious woman in a wide house. Did you discover the common thread? Contentious, if you didn't get it. What does contentious mean? Well, it means scolding, critical, aggressive, bossy, angry. Now, when you know what the New Testament says, how the man is the head of the house and the woman is to submit to God's given leadership in the house, the word contentious isn't a word that should be used to describe a godly wife. Submission and submitting to a husband should, but if there are contentious, critical, aggressive, anger, and all those other words describe, that's not submission. When contentions is used to describe a wife, it shows that she's not willing to accept God's head or authority in her life. And if there are regular arguments and yelling matches in your house, or if there is the cold silence as the silent treatment is given, then understand there's something wrong. What it shows is there is a lady who is not happy. Now, her unhappiness may be just because she's got a bozo for a husband, all right? And we've looked at husbands. We're all perfect now, all right? Because we've got all that sorted out in the last couple of messages. But it shows that she's not happy for one reason or another, justified or unjustified. But we're seeing here that she will use any means, regardless if it's wrong or right, to get her own way. That's what's happening. And in these verses, there are three main words described. that describe this type of lady: contentious, brawling, and angry. And an offshoot of this is nagging, where you act like that continual dripping on a rainy day. And do you understand? God says this is not a pleasant thing to go through. He says there, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. If a man knows that he's coming home to an angry wife, if he knows as soon as he steps through that door, the fight is on, and she's going to let him have it for everything that he's done wrong for the last 24 hours or week. If he knows that if he makes a decision and it's not what his wife wants, there is going to be contention rather than submission, then there's no wonder he finds other things to do and other places to be. Even the book of Proverbs tells us that a nagging, quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Now that's just a nice long way of saying she's really annoying. All right? That's what it really means. Really annoying. And it's better to live in a corner of the attic or run to the wilderness to find some relief. And you know, I don't know, I have never met any man who says, "Pastor, I'm off to the wilderness. I can't stand it anymore." But I do know that there are plenty of men that will go and live in their shed or spend most of their time in their shed because they know what awaits them in the house, or they'll spend plenty of time on the sports field because they know what they're going to go home to. Or I know plenty of men that are more happy to go and spend all their time with a hobby anywhere but home. Why? Because there's a house where there's an angry woman, a contentious woman, and he's afraid to go there. You know, ladies, Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down." Are you wise or are you foolish? Do you build your house and home up or do you pull it down? And ladies, if your home is one where there's contentiousness, there is a contentious woman, you can't justify your actions by blaming your lazy husband. You can't justify your actions by blaming your disobedient children. You can't justify your actions because there is a lack of love shown by your husband. This isn't God's way of solving the problem. This is just your flesh trying to make things work. It's no excuse. There is no excuse for sinful behavior. It's not the way to get your husband to do what he should be doing. It might be a way of getting what you want, but can I ask you, is it worth the cost? You may get your own way by acting like that, being the contentious woman, and that continual dripping, but is it worth the cost? You may get your husband to do what needs to be done. You may have everyone in the house, ship-shape, doing what they should or doing what you want them to do, including your husband. But is it worth it? If your husband avoids you or dreads coming home, if he's afraid to lead the family because he knows that there is going to be a contentious woman at the end of that statement rather than a submissive woman, then is it really worth being contentious? If you want your family to appreciate you and to express their thanks and their gratitude to you, then being an angry, brawling, contentious, scary lady is not the way to go about it. That's what God says. So that's what God says is not a normal woman. But the Lord does give you some advice in what you should be. You know, firstly, let me comment on a couple of things that I said a couple of weeks ago. You know, we saw how a husband is to rejoice with the wife of his youth. We saw that a wife is to be that fountain of living water. That's where he is to go for any needs that he may have. If he is thirsty for sympathy, he should go to his wife. If he is thirsty for understanding, if he's thirsty for intimacy or comfort or encouragement, then it's his wife that he should be going to. That fountain of running water is where he's meant to go. But ladies, for that to really work, there also needs to be a fountain. Get the picture? If God says, go to the wife of your youth, she is your fountain. If he says, okay, I will, but there's no fountain at home, well then that breaks down everything as well. If a man knows that all awaits him at home is a brawling woman who's going to nag him and explode, and there's no love, there's no encouragement, there's no comfort or tenderness, then one thing you can be very sure of: the lips that look like a honeycomb, the flattering words and the flirtatious acts of the strange woman that he may meet are going to be very enticing to him. And although this never makes it right, you can make sure it makes it far easier if there's no fountain at home for him to do the wrong thing. You have a God-given responsibility to make sure there's a fountain at home. That's what he wants you to be doing. Be the fountain of blessing and encouragement that God wants you to be. Also, there's some other key words. One of them we looked at last time. It's in Proverbs 19, verse 14, where it says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. And we saw that word prudent is only actually translated, the Hebrew word's only translated three times, prudent. The rest, well, the majority is either wise, that is a godly lady, is from the Lord, or understanding lady is from the Lord. Notice it doesn't say a contentious wife is from the Lord. God doesn't take blame for that. Hey, I didn't give you a contentious wife. But he does say a prudent one is from me. You got a good one if you got a prudent one. And so, ladies, if you want to be considered as a gift from God to your husband, then you need to be, God says, a prudent wife. Now, that means, first of all, godly. You are to love the Lord with all your heart. Spend time with Him. Be a woman who wants to please the Lord and be a blessing to the Lord. But then also, that it is shown in your life where you are a understanding wife to your husband. You know all his faults. You know all his downfalls. You know all those annoying things about him. Yet you still love him. You are still patient with him. You are more patient with him than anybody else. You praise him more than anybody else. You show love and tenderness to him more than anybody else. It's a prudent wife that a man looks forward to coming home to, not a contentious wife. Also, there is the word virtuous, which is probably the most well known. Chapter 12, verse 4 says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now, ladies, I know that you have Bible studies and you look at the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, and you know all about it. But let me remind you of a couple of things, just in case you forgot. virtuous actually means strong, strength. Now, that doesn't mean strong meaning, come here and I'll bop you one if you don't do what I'm saying. It's that not that type of strength. It is someone that is morally strong, someone who is spiritually strong, someone who is mentally strong. She doesn't, if you were to read the Proverbs 31, she doesn't waste her money, we're told. You know, that means really that she doesn't need retail therapy to be happy. That means she doesn't have to go out and buy something new every week just to be happy. Her happiness is found in the Lord. Her husband doesn't have to buy something new continually to keep her happy. No, her happiness is in the Lord. We're told that she is trustworthy. We're told that she cares for her husband. We're told that she does what is good and right to him. We're also told that she's not lazy, that she fulfills her responsibilities within the home. She cares for the needy and helps them. She's industrious. She teaches her children. She gives wise instruction. She loves her children. And she fears the Lord. And ladies, if you're like this, God's word says that you will be considered a crown to your husband. Get that? If you are like this, it doesn't say any woman is a crown to her husband. No, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Now think about a crown for a moment. I've never actually worn a real crown, like kings and so on get to see them. But if someone wears a crown, they wear it with pride. Hey, everybody, look at me. Look what I've got sitting on my head. I've got a crown full of jewels that no one else could have. I am the envy of everybody else. Bet you wish you had a crown like me, and it makes a person feel special and important to others. Now God says if you are a virtuous woman, that's how you're going to make your husband feel. He is going to look at you as something precious to him. Someone, he says, hey everybody, look at my wife. Bet you wish you had someone like her as your wife. She is the most precious thing you have, I could have. And you make him feel special. You make him feel important because he's got someone that most people don't. God says that's how you get your husband to adore you. Be a virtuous woman. But there is the warning. Because it says there, but she that maketh ashamed, she that brings shame to her husband by not being a virtuous woman, is as rottenness in his bones. That's the opposite. He's not proud of her. He doesn't actually enjoy being around her. In fact, life is really hard being married to her. And you know, a selfish man, and I say this, a selfish man will easily be tempted by the strange woman when he has a wife like that. It is never justified to still do the wrong thing. But a selfish man will be very tempted. Ladies, also told in Proverbs 11:16, a gracious woman retaineth her honour. There is honour to the gracious woman. That is someone who is pleasant. Pleasant to be around. Some people that want to be around you. Someone, she will keep her honour. You know, as there was a verse that I looked at earlier, Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Can I ask you, ladies, are you building up your home? Are you making it a wonderful place to be? Somewhere that your husband just can't wait to get home to because it's a great place? Is it a place where your children love being there? It is a pleasant place because there's that prudent, virtuous, gracious woman living there. Or are you plucking it down with your hands and with your words? It's a scary place to be. Well, ladies, there's a lot here from Proverbs that God wants you to know. Maybe you need to just do a Bible study yourself and read through the book of Proverbs and see what God wants you to be again. But if the Lord has pricked your heart on one thing or a few things, can I encourage you, don't take it from me. Just go and read God's Word and see what it says. And then see, that's what God wants you to be. Fear Him enough to live like that. And you will be a blessing to your husband. And he will love you in ways that you never thought was possible if you do things God's way. Let's pray.